You're listening to the Saffron Planet Foundations 2 audio series. For more audio content, please go to keshaweb.com.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for drawing us together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have been receiving from you over these last 4 days that we've been here. And Lord, we look expectantly to you that you might again pour out your blessing upon us this morning. Lord, we have come together that we might praise you and worship you because you are worthy of all our praise and all our worship. And Lord, we pray that you will be pleased with our offering of praise and worship to you today. So Lord, we do ask that you will move amongst us, that you will be here by your Holy Spirit, just moving amongst us and enabling us to come closer to you today. So we bring this day before you and we commit it into your hands in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you like to stand, everybody? Thank you. Okay, we're going to do some songs that you've been doing the whole week, so you're all going to know them. Sing, Lord God.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God.
Lord, he is God. Oh, the Lord, he is God.
mystery behind the veil. Lord, over heaven and earth, God of Israel, come with your wisdom. Come with your wisdom and power, clothed in your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come on, conquer again.
And every eye,
and every eye will see your glory.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ekam Kana, Adonai, we will praise and lift you high. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham by the power.
Bless your name. We just praise your name and say, Father, let your will be done this morning. We just give honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me take a seat.
What I'd like to do now is that we want to hear from people whose lives have really been touched by the Lord this week as to what it is that God has said to them, or maybe what you are going to do as a result of being here. Because you remember, you know, when we heard John Cluett, which seems like about 6 months ago, it was only two nights, I think. But when we heard from him, I mean, his emphasis is on not just hearing it, but actually let's put these things into action. So if there's something that God has said to you, I want you to do this, then it'd be good for you to come out here and actually share what it is publicly. If God's spoken to you, if you feel that you've actually learned anything this week, you're very welcome to come out here and just share something. Now, we've got 100 or so people here, and we haven't got that long, so it does mean you will need to be brief. Chris will be doing the sermon later. We don't need any earlier than that. Is that okay? So if you'd like to come out, I don't know who's going to come out, but you can form an orderly queue down one side or the other if you wish, and come out and share. So thank you very much. Here's the first one.
Bit of a croaky voice. Some of you that need lifts later, I volunteered our car. We only got it 2 weeks ago. Last time we came in a small Citroen Saxo for economy. Now we've got the big beast that's down by the front door. Okay, we're having a change of lifestyle, so that's why we've got it. And so for this weekend, it's pressed into service. While Tristan packs up that lot to fit in it later to go to Reading, I'm doing shuttle service. Hallelujah for a big car. What else is it going to do? The song we've just sung, El Shaddai, it's a long time since I've sung that. And I was reminded that my daughter, our daughter, used to be asked to sing it, that song, on the secular school coach going on day trips. Thank you, Lord. I think that's it. Bye.
One of the things that really spoke to my heart was when John talked about a Hebraic church. Now, I've always wondered how we should be worshipping God, that if we hadn't cut off from our Hebraic roots, how we would do it. So to hear John stand here and tell us about his experience in trying to set up and run a Hebraic church really did make me feel wonderful inside, and I'm determined to go and look at his church and to see what they've been doing. And it wouldn't it be lovely if they just spread through the nation like a wildfire? So that was my, I think, one of the ways that, you know, it's really spoken to me. It's like God answering my question and giving me hope.
I'll just echo what you've just said, and it's given me some ideas. We've just got some new pastors taking over in our church, so it's given me some ideas how to talk to them, and hopefully our church will start to head in that direction. And I think one of the things that's been growing in my heart since I've had a heart for Israel is, I think when you first have a heart for Israel, it's like Israel, 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 and you sort of, people who are like pro-Palestinian and all that, like the enemy. And I think that this, you know, it's been reinforced this weekend, but you know, it has been growing and growing. I think we've got to be really, really careful to, when we talk about Israel, to say that we're praying for all the people of Israel, you know, whatever their faith is. And that, then we get people on our side, and then we can start, you know, talking about the things that are really close to our heart. But I think that's been really reinforced as well in some of the discussions and things that we've had. So I think that's been good for me. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll be brief, as usual. I was talking to a lady one time who was in Israel near Gaza, and she was telling me of the experience she had of 4 nights of being woken up by air raid sirens and having to get into her kit and get down to the right spot in the hotel where she could be safe. It really disturbed me quite a lot. I had a lot, and as I was thinking about this last night, and I don't know if it relates to this conference particularly, but it was that the Iron Dome, as you may know, is an Israeli way of knocking out rockets coming from Hamas from Gaza. And of course, it's not the rockets that they knock out, which they do with great success. It's the ones that get through, and they can take a hotel out and so on. And it just struck me about the prayer life that we need to have. And it really is, our prayers can act like an iron dome. When the attacks of Satan come on Israel or Palestine, wherever situation, our prayers effectively can act like an iron dome, and they can knock out his accusations and lies and all the weapons he sends. So that's what I'd leave with you.
I'm immensely grateful for Steve and Monica and the team for putting this week on. It's not a small thing to put on a week like this, you know. And only heaven knows the sheer amount of guts and effort and energy they put into putting this week on. So before I say anything else, I want to say I'm deeply grateful to them and to the team, and very, very thankful. I must be honest that I have really struggled this week. I think the struggle has come to a point last night and this morning. And I think there's a deception, a potential deception, that is troubling me greatly, that this movement somehow will get sidetracked into Judaism. In attempting to engage with the Jewish people, in that attempting to connect with them, in having a heart for Israel, you know, I think it's, I'm trying to get a hold of this, but I believe that what we're about here is about renewal of the church and about renewal of Israel. I do believe that is the. That is the big agenda. That's the biggest thing on God. That's the vision God gave me 4.5 years ago. He said to me, without the Jews, the church cannot find her destiny. Right? Without the Jews, the church cannot find her destiny. But without the church, the Jewish people also, they cannot find their destiny. That the two lights, the two great lights that God has put in the earth, the light of renewal in Yeshua and the light of that the Jewish people have always carried from their birth, before his return, these two lights will combine in the one new man. And I'm just anxious inside. And it's no criticism of Steve or the conference. Please don't take it this way, right? But I'm anxious that in our desire to bless Israel, to bless the Jewish people, that we be very careful not to get shunted into Judaism in its wrong religious sense, in terms of religion operating independently of God, in a sense, but to allow God to use the Jewish people to bring us back into our oily Abrahamic roots, which is where the church was born, and it's where we belong, and it's the only place, I believe, in the bottom of my heart, it's the only place that when we're properly rooted back into our Abrahamic roots, it's the only place that we will be truly fruitful. Thank you.
If I could just say how much I agree with what we just said. There is always a danger in any movement of going over the top. Whatever it is, there is always a danger of going to an extreme. And that is just as bad as not going there in the first place, if you see what I mean. So I recognize what you are saying. There's no way that we're there at the moment. I'm convinced of that. But we all need to be aware of that. And in embracing our Hebraic roots, it doesn't mean to say that we all have to become Jews. We are good friends with Chuck Cohen. Some of you will probably know him. And I know that he has said, you know, if you're a Gentile when you get saved, please stay that way. Please don't try to become Jewish. We've got enough trouble already. Yeah, and I know what he means. You know, that there are those who just go totally overboard. And it is not healthy for the church. If you are saved as a Jew, hallelujah, stay as a Jew. Don't try and become a Gentile. And if you're saved as a Gentile, hallelujah, stay as a Gentile and don't try and become a Jew. But just get together and talk to each other, yeah? So anyway, thank you. That's the end of my sermon. Would you like to say something?
Hi. Maureen and I are new to all of this. So actually, we have learnt a tremendous amount this week, probably more than most of you, because it's all new to us. I particularly want to thank Chris for the teaching about the feast, because we've got some very good Jewish friends, and that will help us no end. Because, funnily enough, they've been through it all just recently, haven't they? And so it'll help us in conversing with them. I've got another couple of friends who are non-Christians who are very anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian. And I thank Steve for his particular talk around the background to it all, because that will allow us now to challenge them in a way I felt awkward about before, because I didn't really know my facts. So that's all been very useful. So I thank for that. I thank Chris as well, because I would love to go on a tour of Israel with Chris, particularly, and Lindy. But because of health reasons, I asked him about it, because of health reasons, there's no way I could manage that. But he's thoughtfully provided, especially for me, a DVD, which has got it all on. So I'm going to be able to do Israel with Chris and Lindy without getting out of my armchair, which, you know, that'll be good. Just two other things. One, I was with Jacob Vince, somewhere over there. We came to Foundations 1 by accident. We didn't know what this was all about. I'd read one of Steve Maltzer's books, which was not particularly around all of this issue. It was more about the Greek influence on how the church lost the way. And I thought, oh, I must come and meet this Steve Maltz chap. And then when we arrived, we realized God had actually brought us into this almost messianic Jewish thing, which we had no real idea. It shows how much I research things. And it was great, Foundations 1, and we bought the Kesha course because we wanted to do it with our small group at home. And I started looking at it just in preparation. I was a little bit confused about a couple of things, so I asked Jacob, and I says, and he says about introducing the course and everything. I said, it's a pity you don't live near me, because you could come and introduce it. And he said, well, I'm not that far away. He said, well, you know, when I told him where we lived. And he said, but one of our trustees, David Greer, He I think he's a deputy chair, isn't he? Yeah. David Greer, he lives fairly close to you. Well, we thought, wow, Maureen and I have known David and Sandra Greer for 25 years. But we've lost touch recently, but they were very, very good friends, and we've still got their details, I think. So that was a wonderful answer, really, from God to make that happen. And the last thing I just want to talk about is this piece of paper here. This piece of paper was delivered to me at the beginning of last week, and it's from the Procurator Fiscal in Scotland, saying, I must appear at the... as a witness, I might add, as a witness. an expert witness in a case. I must appear on Friday, 5th of October, 2012, i.e. today, at 9:30 a.m., and at any postponed dates. If you do not attend, the court may grant a warrant for your arrest. And I thought, oh no, it means we're going to have to leave here Thursday. I'm going to have to leave here anyway Thursday morning in order to get up there and everything else. I'd have to arrange a hotel and all that. I thought, well, I better pack my suit. And then halfway here, I thought, oh, I hadn't packed my suit. I mean, how can I appear at Crown Court like this? So I thought, even when I'm up there, I'm going to have to go and buy a suit. Like yesterday afternoon, I'd have had to have bought a suit just for that one court appearance. And Celestine at the back there persuaded me that we should pray about this and bring it before the Lord. And we prayed and we agreed that we'd ask that I wouldn't be required or the case would be put off. And lo and behold, on Wednesday, I got a text saying I wasn't required after all. My statement would suffice. Hallelujah.
The church I attend isn't overtly anti-Semitic, nor is it pro-Israel. And when I developed a heart for Israel, I kept thinking, I need to leave this. I need to find somewhere else. And I prayed to the Lord, and he said, no, you stay here until I tell you to leave. Quite a few people were leaving. So I stayed. I came to Foundations One, and they asked, what were you going to do when you leave? And at the end of Foundations One, and I said, well, I hope to... maybe put the Kesha course on because I'd acquired a set. Came back and still held out. Wasn't too sure, Lord, how can I handle this? I don't, know how to conduct this. And then towards the end of last year, our pastor asked for leaders for house groups. The Lord said, this is your chance. So I went to the pastor and I said, I'd be happy to lead a house group, but I would like to run the Kesha course as part of the house group. And he said, oh, what's that about? And I told him briefly. And so I was able to run a Kesha course. Just 8 people attended. Every one of them said how much it had enriched their spiritual lives. They want something else. And so... I'm praying about that, but also those who weren't able to attend have asked if they could, if I could put another Kesha course on. So, you know, I just want to say that God has been so good, and by coming here, I got the really just it gave me the strength to go forward and do this. So, if any of you are thinking of doing the same, God gives you the power. Amen. Amen.
Hey, I was thinking, or as I was going to bed last night, the Lord revealed something to me, and I was thinking about the Lord's provision for every single person, and he said to me, before you were even born, when you're in your mother's womb, you had warmth, you had protection, you had food, and you had water, and that's God's merciful nature and his provision for every single one of us. So I don't know if that's a word for someone, if you need to be reminded that God provides and that he is faithful, but just keep believing that he protected you and grew you when you didn't even know to ask, and he'll keep doing that for you, okay? So.
Yeah, I've been really blessed by the being able to go through the feast. And also, it feels like faith has become much more simple. And I feel like, yeah, my heart's been prepared for the next stage of my life. And what he's been sort of putting sort of situations in my mind about people I need to forgive and people and things that, and he's made it a really beautiful experience by thinking of his the Passover and also his coming and tabernacling with us, and it's it's been wonderful.
This young lady told me this morning that she's getting married in December.
Isn't that wonderful? Is that right?
Yep, good. So her fiancé is not here at the moment, so we can't pray for them both, but I think it would just be good if we pray for her, that the Lord will really bless you in your marriage. Okay. So, Father, we just want to thank you that, Lord, you are the one that created the whole concept of marriage. You're the one who established it right the way back there at the beginning of Genesis. And, Lord, we want to thank you that these two folk are going to go through that in the next couple of months and become one flesh, and be there worshiping you together. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon the marriage. We pray for your blessing upon their home, that it will be a beacon attracting people to you from all those around them, whether it be family, friends, or neighbors. That, Lord, you will bring people to yourself as a result of bringing these two together. We ask it that your name might be glorified in their lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
I was very glad last night when we had the panel and the talk about, well, certainly not just believing in a New Testament Bible, because I think one of the points raised was that if we jettison the Old Testament, in a sense, you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. In the last 27 odd years, the churches that I've been to, either the old, do you remember you used to have slots for the Old New Testament and Gospel readings during a Sunday service? Somehow the Old Testament slots got mysteriously dropped. Or else in my more recent church, the Old Testament readings were few and far between. And if I could remind everyone of an aid memoir that you might have come across regarding the two halves, as it were, of the Bible, the new is in the old, concealed. The old is in the new, revealed. Secondly, whilst I must admit to keeping an open mind on the old British Empire, and that because if it wasn't for the old empire, the missionaries wouldn't have produced the best doctors and nurses and teachers. Nevertheless, having visited a place called Atleet, just outside Tel Aviv, if I remember right, the old Haifa, stand corrected. The old detention centre, I think, certainly that was one of the more shameful, I have to admit, aspects of our good imperial history. And on a personal level, without going into too many details, yes, I was feeling a bit lonely when I first arrived at this conference, being among strangers, albeit we all have a good common cause, which is why I was sitting aside on most occasions. Nevertheless, I felt, for me, the conference improved as the week went on. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. As Olivia said, the Lord knew us before we were in the womb, and amazingly, he put a spirit into our bodies, so he knows us very well. And I just want to have issue with the once a Gentile, always a Gentile, because the Lord is revealing to people in the world, the Holy Spirit is revealing to people in the world, part of the new man thing coming forth of who we are in the scheme of things. There's the house of Judah, and there's also the house of the Israelites, the northern tribes who are split off. God's been showing me lots of texts about the Israel. Well, maybe it's in reverse order. The Israelites went off first, and then Judah was scattered around the world. There are lots of texts about that. And the Jews are coming back. Maybe the Israelites will come back. Years ago, my dad has done a family tree, There are four A4 pieces of paper. I only had one of them. I didn't realise there were four until many years later. It was on the floor in front of the television, and suddenly a name off this family tree jumped out and hit me. Rebecca Natman. 1700s-ish, give or take a bit, down in the West Country. She is in my family tree, and she's of one of the tribes, and so I know which tribe I'm of, because the Holy Spirit revealed later, I didn't know which tribe she was at the time, but the name, I've later discovered, the Holy Spirit showed me which tribe. No proof, of course, but it's amazing and it's awesome. And I've also met in Israel people from around the world, people of Gad, Issachar, Reuben, as well as obviously Jews. Some of the Cohens, of course, know they're Levites. And I just want to share this for you to be open to the fact that God might reveal this to you in the future. Don't close it, please, because I've discovered that once, in my case, yes, I was a Gentile, but maybe I'm not. I'm of this particular tribe, and obviously I'm learning more about the Hebraic roots and becoming, it's part of becoming the one new man in the future, I think. And one day the two sticks will join together, won't they? The house of Judah and the house of Israel to become the one new man. So I just want to share that for you to be open to it, folks. You never know.
I've lots of good things about the week, and I've especially appreciated the late night performances. There's one group here that have impressed me more than others, and that's the children. I thoroughly enjoyed their blessing, their behaviour, the helpfulness, and I would just like to commend all of you who are young people and children at this conference. It's been great to have you with us.
I just heard you say that. I'm so glad you said that, because they've been such a blessing to me. They've been really fantastic. These children of the three families are just so great, and they're just so, I don't know, what can I say? They've blessed me so much, so thank you very much. They've been a joy.
We just wanted to say thank you very much to Monica for doing our sessions for us, because it was really fun, and you spent so much time, missed out on the meetings and everything, and we really love you.
Oh, thank you. Probably many of you didn't actually realise that that's what Monica was doing. Because you see her as the admin person, you know, rushing around doing everything, getting everything working. But when the sessions were on in here, the teaching sessions that Chris was doing, Monica was looking after the children, doing a brilliant job.
This is more about encouragement. I want to encourage every person here in this room and anyone that's wandering around elsewhere. Yesterday evening, I was sitting in the back painting, and please believe me, I was paying attention. I was in the groove with my painting, and I couldn't stop. But the rest of me was paying attention to what was going on. And in the discussion where we were discussing different ways about how we, whether we are Jewish believers or Gentile believers, how we can encourage our churches, our fellowships, to pray for Israel, how we can bring Hebraic roots, I had a thought came to mind then, but I needed time to sort of think it over. And as I was preparing to bed, I was mulling it over in my mind. And then again when I woke up this morning. Everyone that's at this conference has a gift. Some of us are blessed with a few more. But every one of us has at least one gift, one talent, one ability. And you should be using that gift to bless Israel, to help our Jewish brethren in their mission to the rest of the nation of Israel. and to bless the church. Because if we can help focus the mind of the church, as has already been said, if the church, the more Gentile Christians come to understand the true purpose of the gospel, then there we'll see many more Jewish people coming to accept Yeshua as their Messiah. And I learnt this because back in 1999, when I first became associate member to the British Messianic Jewish Alliance, right from the beginning, I was looking for a way that I could serve my Jewish brethren, how I could serve that community and help them to bring the good news to their people. And at the same time, how could I also bring Hebraic roots teaching into the church? How could I help focus the mind? Well, a few years later, I got the answer. And I've been doing that now for 10 years. And I already had the abilities, and the Lord said, you've got it right there at your fingertips. And so often I hear people say, I don't have a gift. I'm sorry, but that's poppycock. Unfortunately, what happens, many of us, we've got funny vicars or peculiar pastors who don't encourage people in their fellowships, in their churches, to use their gifts. If you struggle to use it there, there are plenty other places you can use it. And just keep praying. At some point, you'll be able to use that in your own church, in your own fellowship. And if you don't know what your gift is, well, there's one place you can go to get the answer.
Amen. Thank you. I said that was going to be the last one. But I've been overruled.
For what it's worth, I'm known as Jaime the Heathen. But I would like, the last few days have been a revelation. And I would like to thank the owners, whoever they are. I think I know who they are. For the five last wonderful days, I feel very blessed. And I think special thanks to my grandson, Philip. He's worked 18 hours a day for the last 5 days. And I would like him to get some sort of recognition. Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you for those wonderful testimonies that we've heard this morning. We thank you that you have brought us together, some Jewish, some Gentile, in order to come before you together, to worship you together, to learn from you, to receive from you. And Lord, we pray that whether we've actually been able to say it publicly or whether we just know in our hearts that you've said something to us, we thank you that indeed you have spoken. And Lord, we pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but doers of it also. So by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask that you'll help us to put into practice those things that you have asked us to do. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, folks, we're drawing our conference to a close now. And Lindy and I felt we wanted to do something here at this point, which we trust will be a blessing to you. I say Lindy and I am the one who is going to do it, but Lindy is the one who produces our CDs and our booklets, and so this is her contribution, and if any of you want a lasting memory, well, you can get them from the stall at the back. But this takes us away to a far-off land, a well-loved land, the land of Israel. And on our tours, sometimes we make a pause on the road that goes from Jerusalem down to Jericho. We make a pause and we go to the edge of a ravine. It's called the Wadi Kelt. It's a very deep ravine. It runs from Jerusalem down through the wilderness towards Jericho, and parts of that gorge never, ever see the light of day. And it is known locally, and has been so known for centuries, as the Valley of the Shadow. It is the area close to Bethlehem, in point of fact, not that many miles away, and certainly in that part of the wilderness, young David would have grazed his father's sheep. And sitting and watching over those sheep, the Lord inspired him and used the experience to reveal something to David that has blessed countless Christians, countless Jews through the running centuries. Psalm 23. It's what we call the song of the shepherd. But it isn't so much a song of David, although it is obviously one of the Psalms of David, but it was written under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Father was speaking his word through David. And because it's Father's word, we love to hear Father speaking through it. And that's what we're going to do. But before it, I want to highlight one or two pieces of it, which I think may need a little expanding if you're not familiar with the local customs and the idioms and so forth, as we were learning from John the other evening. But Psalm 23 is a most remarkable one in its accuracy. It is incredible. And only shepherds really understand the accuracy with which David wrote. For instance, he leads me beside quiet waters. What are quiet waters? Well, they don't make a noise. That's because they're still. But it doesn't mean they're stagnant. In Israel, you get flash floods. You get water that falls in rain on the high ground and then runs through dried up riverbeds down through the wilderness towards the Dead Sea escarpment. And if you've been down there, when a storm has fallen in Jerusalem, it can be utterly terrifying because the amount of water that gathers in the wadis is colossal. It's because of the dust that lies in those wadis under normal circumstances, and the water simply cascades over the top without sinking in. And by the time it gets to the escarpment, it's a raging torrent that spews over the edge and down to the Dead Sea. And we have been down there on a number of occasions when the road has been washed away with the force of the water and we've had to turn back. It can be very dangerous. The Israel Government Tourist Board tell you that if you're hiking in the area, you must listen carefully, because if you hear an unusual sound, a roaring sound, you must move up out of the wadi as quickly as possible, otherwise it will certainly sweep you away. That's how dangerous it can be. But when the waters have passed, some of it remains in little depressions in the bed of the wadi. The water is then quiet. And it's why the psalm writer, David, in verse 5, also refers to my cup overflowing. Because sheep don't drink out of cups, do they? Kate's down here drinking out of a bottle. Sheep don't do that either. So what is the cup? The cup is the depression in the bottom of the wadi that the sheep can drink from safely. And the shepherd knows when it's safe for the sheep to return to the dried up riverbed so that they're able to drink safely. Why is that important? Because a sheep's nose is very close to its mouth. And if it tries to drink in turbulent water, or water that is liable to movement, the water can go up its nose and it can suffocate very, very easily. So you see, these are very practical things. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if what I'm telling you is true about David writing this psalm, looking into that deep, dark gully, which certainly inspires me, You may wonder, why is it that a shepherd would ever take a sheep through a deep, dark, dangerous gully? Why would he do that? I don't think there's any reason but one. Why would he risk the sheep hurting their feet on the stones when they can't see, or damaging their sides on the sides of the gorge as they're going through? Why would he do that? Only one reason: to lead them to a better pasture. Are you experiencing something of that in your life at the moment? The path is stony. You're conscious of danger. You can't see too clearly. Hallelujah. I tell you, someone who is there with you, your shepherd. Praise the Lord. So, with those practical considerations in mind, let me read you the psalm. But I'm not going to read it in the usual way. I'm going to speak as I believe David heard it from his heavenly Father. So you can follow it if you wish, but if you don't wish to, you can simply close your eyes and enjoy this word of encouragement from your Father God, who loves you and wants you to know his blessing all the time, but very specially now. My beloved child, I, the Lord, I am your shepherd. You will never want for anything I know you need. I'm making you lie down in a green pasture. So often I have to make you, because left to your own devices, you never would. So I'm making you lie down in a green pasture so that I can do for you everything I need to do. Things that sometimes I can't do because you're simply overactive. But now I've got you where I want you. I've made you lie down. And the pasture is very green. My beloved, I'm leading you beside quiet waters, waters you can drink from, knowing that they will not harm you. Drink deep of the water that I provide for you. For I am restoring your very life. My beloved, I am guiding you in paths of righteousness for the sake of my great name. Paths of righteousness are the right paths. I am with you. Do not doubt that I am leading you in the right path. You may be troubled about where you think I'm taking you. You may be puzzled by the route I'm using, but trust me, I'm guiding you. I am with you. You are in the right path. How could my name be honored if it were otherwise? Even though you find yourself walking through the valley of the shadow of deepest darkness, don't be afraid. I'm with you. My rod is in my hand to protect you from harm. Nothing can harm you while I am with you and you are with me. Which means nothing can harm you, for I am always with you. My rod to protect you, my staff to tap out the way in the darkness. Listen for the tapping of my staff. Yes, it is dark, isn't it? Yes, it is uncomfortable. Yes, you do feel vulnerable. listen, can you hear the tap, tap of my staff in the darkness, leading you, reassuring you, telling you, my beloved, you are loved by me. You are mine. Let my protection and my guiding bring comfort to your soul. Rest in me. I am there. My beloved child, I prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. Even the presence of your enemies swarming around you cannot prevent me from preparing a table for you. My provision, none can prevent me from providing for you everything for your good, everything for your blessing, everything for your growing. Nothing can prevent it. Satan certainly cannot prevent it. Satan is a fallen angel, and I am the Lord God of Israel, says the Lord. I anoint your head with oil. Your head, the place where you so often hurt and suffer, that precious head, which I see and I love because I created it. I anoint your head with oil, healing balm to bring relief. Beloved, can't you see your cup is overflowing? I tell you this. There is absolutely no question. It is as certain as the dawn that my goodness and my covenant love will cling to you all the days of your life. And when this life is done, nothing's going to part us. For you will dwell with me in my house forever and forever and forever. Nothing's going to part us, for you are my shepherd. You are my beloved sheep. I am your shepherd. Rest in my love, in the name of my dear son. Now, if you feel that Father has spoken to you at any point in that, it might be an idea just to acknowledge it, not for my sake, but really for your own, just by putting a hand up, just to say, Lord, I heard you. Lord, you ministered to me. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. How lovely. Praise the Lord. His word applied to my life. His word, bringing balm, bringing encouragement, restoration. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and you shall have a song in the night. Come to the mountain of the Lord, see his glory and his might. He's the mighty. Shall be heard in the power of his word, the mighty one.
Adonai Panav Eleka, Biyasem Leka Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace, his shalom. Amen and amen. Praise God.
You're listening to the Saffron Planet Foundations 2 audio series. For more audio content, please go to keshaweb.com.